What is perhaps the biggest struggle in your marriage as an adult child of divorce? You might not have thought about this, but it's pretty basic and it affects all of us. Today, we're going to be talking about how you can handle that better in your marriage with God's help. I'm so glad that you've joined me for episode 22 of Heart in a Drawer. It's the podcast for adult children of divorce. And I don't know if you're new here. If you are, welcome. If you've been with me for a while, I'm so glad that you're listening again. And I want to tell you that everyone who gives a donation of any amount each month is added to my rewards program. You get a special video and printable from me. So make sure that you check out the show notes for more information. You can get that just for anything as low as a dollar per month. So today, the topic that we're talking about is selfishness. So selfishness is really the basic problem behind every problem. We all want our own way. This was the original sin in the Garden of Eden, the sin of pride, and it affects every marriage, but I think it especially affects marriages with one or more spouses that are children of divorce, because every single divorce, without exception, is due to selfishness. I don't think there is anything that your parents did, whether it was infidelity or addiction or financial troubles or just drifting apart, that didn't have selfishness at the root. I can look at the people that I know that have been divorced. They have all been affected by selfishness in one way or another. People are going through my mind right now. In my parents' marriages, my husband's parents' marriage, that was the problem. That was the root underneath all the other sins. And it's a problem in all of the issues that we face in our own marriages. So it's something that we really need to be aware of and be proactive against. I think one of the biggest challenges with selfishness in marriage is that it's so difficult to detect. I think that in my marriage, well, you know, there's some issues where I think it's easier to see one person as the bad guy and the other person as the good guy, right? If you can get me there without me going into specifics. So when one person is acting out, the other person might feel really self-righteous, that this isn't their problem, and it's just their spouse's bad behavior affecting them. And so often in my marriage, that's been the dynamic of me being judgmental and prideful and not thinking that's as bad as the acting out part, but really it was undermining our marriage just in a different way and just as destructive. And I think that my husband and I, both being children of divorce, like I've talked about, we both kind of came into it with some predetermined entitlements due to our fears, due to our wounds that were unhealed. And through Christian counseling, we had to work through some of our victim mentalities and work through some of the entitlements that we had held on to because of those victim roles that we had been in legitimately as children, but then kind of clinging to that victim mentality into our marriage, which wasn't healthy for either one of us. So it's something that is really hard to be aware of because we have been wounded as children of divorce. But if we can commit to looking at selfishness as a problem that we all own, that we all have agency to change, then it can dramatically change the landscape of our marriage. So a book that I got actually from Focus on the Family is called Men and Women, Enjoying the Difference, and it's by Dr. Larry Crabb. And he is a really profound writer, and yet he shares things that we can all relate with. So I am working through this book. It's something that I have to take one chapter at a time because his writing is very rich, which I love that style of writing. But this is what he says in one of the early chapters in the book, What's Wrong with Our Marriage. He says that people are wounded and people are self-centered. We must decide which is the greater problem. Is this not so incredibly true of us as children of divorce? When we're married, it becomes a greater problem. I'm just going to skim through this next paragraph, which is kind of long. He talks about the wounds of men being a little bit different from the wounds of women. He says that men complain more about sexual frustration, and then women hurt more over the lack of sensitive involvement, generally speaking. And so he says we've got to look at that, but from the perspective that men and women are equally fallen and are therefore equally committed to advancing their own interests. We're all basically selfish, is what he's saying. And he says, whatever our similarities and differences, men and women are bound up in a self-centered approach to life that can be dislodged only by an ongoing encounter with a forgiving and gracious God. I completely agree with that. I can look back in my marriage and see that the only times that I could break out of those self-centered, self-righteous, self-protecting modes is with God's help. And he says, this is really important, I think. We will not move very far in our efforts to develop a good marriage until we understand that repairing a damaged sense of identity and healing the wound in our hearts is not the first order of business. It is rather dealing with the subtle, pervasive, stubborn commitment to ourselves. Self-centeredness is the killer. In every bad relationship, it is the deadliest culprit. Poor communication, temper problems, unhealthy responses to dysfunctional family backgrounds, codependent relationships, and personal incompatibility, everything, unless it's medically caused, flows out of the cesspool of self-centeredness. I couldn't have put it better than that. And I know that this is kind of a low point, but I'm going to take us back up out of this of how we can overcome this. But I think that this is just really early in his book. This is page 24. And so he talks in the rest of the book, and he uses very vulnerable and honest examples from his own marriage on how he has overcome this and how other people can overcome it. So I hope you'll check out the show notes because I'll leave a link to this book in there. So what can we do? I think one of the very best Bible passages that we can meditate on and ask God to help us apply is in Philippians. And this is Philippians 2, 3, and 4. This is from the NIV version. I actually chose the NIV because this is what I memorized when I was in 7th and 8th grade. So it's the version that's in my memory bank. So I want to pass it along to you. And I'm going to make a worksheet like I usually do and put it in the show notes so that you can write this out, which helps you remember it better, and then put it into action. So let's break this down. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So let me break that down real quick. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. That is really hard in a marriage because, as you know, any relationship that you have, if you spend enough time in that person's presence, you're going to have conflict. It doesn't matter who it is, the sweetest grandma on earth, you're going to get on each other's nerves eventually, right? So husband and wife being together more really than anybody else, it's your selfish nature is going to come out. And Paul is writing to all of us believers and saying, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Nothing. That covers it all. So we really have no wiggle room here. But he says, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. So we can only do this with God's power. We can only be humble and others focused with the Holy Spirit nudging us and changing us and empowering us moment by moment, day by day in our marriages. And I can say I'm living proof of that being true because the Holy Spirit really has helped me change my attitudes and change the way that I see some of these long-held problems in our marriage. And I've learned to humble myself and show love rather than anger and resentment in those areas. And it says, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So in Ephesians, there's a very controversial in Western culture passage about wives needing to submit to their husbands and husbands needing to show love to their wives. But I think if we look at that passage, which I'm going to link in the show notes, through the lens of Philippians 2, 3, and 4, it makes total sense. And in fact, in that passage, when Paul is writing to husbands and he's saying, love your wives and give yourselves up to them just as Christ did himself for his church, that's a very high calling. And that's a model of the kind of humility and unselfishness that we are supposed to show each other. So how do we practically put this in motion in our marriages? Well, I think a really easy way to do this is just to commit it to prayer. Just to pray every day, Lord, will you show me? Will you show me where I'm being selfish in my marriage? And you can admit to God, it's so hard to see when we're being selfish. We're really blind to this. We all have blind spots in that area of selfishness. But if you pray fervently, genuinely, and humbly that God will show you even those secret, subtle areas where you're being selfish in your marriage and help you change, he will do that. If you will do that for a week, he'll show you. If you'll do that for 14 days, he'll show you. If you'll do that for a month, you will be amazed at all the areas where you have been selfish that you weren't even aware of. And so God will answer that prayer. It's a brave prayer. It's kind of a painful prayer because you're going to have to give things up that you didn't realize you were being selfish in, like me, okay? I love to read. I read over 100 books a year, but my husband's not a reader. So I have to put that reading aside at night when it's time for us to be together to honor him and just read other times of the day when he doesn't need my full attention. So that's just one area, but it's kind of a big one for me as an author and someone who loves to read. I've had to lay that aside. So there might be those pocket areas that aren't necessarily super sinful, I guess, but they're still selfish, and God will show you that. So let me actually start this prayer for you this time, and then I want you to continue it in your own spiritual walk with the Lord. Father God, I just thank you that you are totally unselfish. You're always generous and giving to us, and your generosity never fails us, Lord. And I want you to teach each one of us, Lord, how to be less selfish and more humble, more others focused in our marriages. And I pray that you will show us, Holy Spirit, where we are holding out pockets of selfishness against each other. And I pray that you would root those out in me, root those out in my brothers and sisters who are listening and watching to this podcast, and start that work of sanctification in us. And I pray that as we do this daily and as we lay down our selfish natures and choose your humility that you'll give us, that we would see a new and beautiful transformation in our marriages. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for watching. Next time, we're going to look at a way that we can control anger in our marriages, and I promise you it will be a blessing to you. So until next time, I'm praying God's peace and blessings on you. Make sure that you're going to the show notes to get all those extra things that I talked about today. Bye-bye.